on in, guys.
Okay. Are there agendas?
Charlie Kelly.
Hi, Charlie Kelly.
Yes.
Sorry about that. We were so happy to have it.
We're fine, Jim. We're a little tired, but we're getting there.
I'll be back tomorrow for
you. It is 7:05, and the regular meeting is now in order. Is called to order, and we will ask for public comment. Charlie doesn't want it. Jim, you want any public comment?
Good.
Good, okay. Review of agenda. We're going to add another executive continuation executive session at end. Are there any other additions or deletions to the agenda?
I don't know. I look at it.
I put that executive session after 6C. Any other additions or deletions? Then I need a motion to change the agenda to add a continuation of the executive session at the end of the meeting.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor? Frank?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Myself, aye. So done. Approval of the 10-2-2019 minutes. Does anyone have any problems with those?
No, they look good to me.
Anyone else? I need a motion then.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor? Frank?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Aye. Warrants for approval. Can you read out those numbers and amounts for Cindy, Frank?
Okay, the first one is payroll. It's 19033.
19033.
Total amount is $10,306.71. We have the accounts payable, and that is report 19035 for the amount of $23,087.53.
Any questions on the accounts payable?
Just it looks like Royal's been in and put the security system in, the low temperature alarms.
Yes, and I'll have to get that documentation to get that grant money back. I assume Melanie has gotten down that has the invoice all set to go. All those in favor of Frank's motion? Frank?
Aye.
Don?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Myself? Aye. So, while you're signing those, can we start with the road foreman's report?
Yep.
You're on.
Oh, yeah. That's good. So, we've been grading, mowing, leaves, still doing some road time mowing. But my plan is to start switching over, trying to get things ready for winter. we're going to grade down the hill, hopefully next week, start at one end and go to the other end. And then I think for the most part, a lot of them will be ready for winter, winter does come, but we're going to still pack out them. The biggest thing was the loader. We had an issue with the loader. The crank seal is leaking on it, and then the timing cover is leaking on it. We're not sure if it's cracked or not cracked, but that's the little more cracks. And that's $4,258 to do the work. It could be an additional $990 if it ends up having to be the crank, the timing cover itself, and that's cracked, then that's going to be on top of this. And then we got trucking. I'm trying to find somebody to do some trucking for me to get it down there. But they have a slot for it to get it in down there now, and it is starting to coil.
Where is it going?
What's that?
Where is it going?
Nortrax.
Nortrax.
So I'm just waiting now on the trucking end of it. I called three guys, and nobody's really called me back, so I called Knox today, and the woman there said that tonight she would have an answer. If and when they could come get it.
If you would like to make a call, please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and dial your operator.
Is this a redial? Yep.
Hello. Please state your name after the tone, and Google Voice will try to connect you.
John Peters.
Your best chance to get something is to do something that's going to improve the water quality.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we've got a lot of projects that would fall into that category. And, I would think Wasn't that slope project down on the river, wasn't that a Better Roads project?
The one we did?
Yeah. Jonathan got that grant, didn't he?
Yeah, I think it was.
So we'll figure out where you think we should do something. We'll try and get some money. It won't do any harm to try.
And then the salt bed, I have reached back out to Chris Bumps about it. Had a follow-up for that, but I'll be meeting with Chris Bumps next week because of the pedestrian signs. He's going to come over and ride around with me just so that everything's on the up and up, make sure he's going to go for a bit.
And I assume that the Cloudland Culvert is going...
Oh, yeah, the Cloudland Culvert, actually. I was over there today. They had the wing walls done on it. They were backfilling the culvert, and they were anticipating, they didn't care if it was 9 o'clock tonight, but it would be open for traffic tonight. So, and then, of course, the rain coming in, pushing to get it done, so, which is whatever, they're getting it done. Scott was over there when I was there the second time, Scott Jensen was, and he told him a few things that he wanted to see if they would get done before it rained, and they assured him they were going to get it all done. So
he was happy.
Yep, he's happy. He was said to me the biggest thing is it's going to be open. And but they're going to still leave their road closed signs out. But I passed the word on a little bit to Fred Dalton and a few others up to there that they wouldn't be able to go in and out. But they can deal with a lot of traffic anyways. Not people that come up there and turn around, so people are going to figure it out on their own. But they're going to leave them up. They might have a little bit of a dip to them, but it's going to be user-friendly. And then they'll be back, like you said, Monday. They'll be back. And that's the place to start working on that.
Anything else?
I stopped by tonight about 4 o'clock and even about 3/4 of the way back to him.
Was he?
Yeah. He told me the same thing.
He told me the same thing?
Yep. Yep.
And the only other thing is it came down. People that work on the diamond mower there came down because had an issue with the head, but even though there's no power to it, the head's been turning on the mower. So they're pretty sure the detergent is an orifice that you could buy. And he didn't have that orifice with him, but he's going to send it down and he showed me how to take it apart and put the new one in as well.
That's been doing that since we bought it.
Yeah, and I think I asked him, I said, I noticed like when they're mowing along with it, it's not mowing the grass off while it's laying along with it down, it stands right back up. And he said that could have a lot to do with that flow out of it, coming out of it, go bypass it, going back to the return. And then I said the other thing with it is they've had some issues, been telling me major issues with hydraulic oil coming out of the back all the time, out of the tank, out of the vent. And I said that seems to me that would make that do that. And he goes, yeah. And I guess that's been happening for quite a while, too. So I think it's been an issue for a while, and let's hope this takes care of it.
Yeah, because that was doing that when we first got it, that first year. I'd see it go up in the road, and the thing would be turning.
Stack return, he's done pulling leaves with it, and the stack return quite a bit faster on it now. So it's getting worse. We'll be sending one down to put it up.
Did you have any conversation with Cy regarding that agricultural asset?
I haven't caught up in it.
Well, I got an email from Ballers. They have taken away their application. They have dropped their application for a subdivision. There's a hearing for the clearing that they did in the ridgeline, but Baller sent this thing, and I explained, and he wanted to know about the access. And I said, we gave them, he wanted, what he said was in the email that he assumed that they'd still be able to use that access to go up there and mow. And I wrote back and said that it was my understanding, and I would check with, this was on Monday or Friday when the email came, late in the day, and I would check with Becky as to that permit, but it's my understanding that that was a logging permit, a temporary access, not a permanent access. And that
we're talking over on Galaxy.
On Allison's old place.
Yeah, they were supposed to, that was supposed to, the permit that we gave them, that was supposed to be cleaned up and taken out of there by snowmelt, so.
Well, so, but anyway, so that was a temporary logging yes. access, which is what I wrote back to Ballers, and I said, and also the wonderful water bar that you put in is dumping water, is going to dump water right into the town road, which we put up with all last winter and into June, and that was unacceptable. And so I can write him back, I'll check with Becky and make sure, but that was the logging access, as I recall. So it isn't a permanent agricultural access. If he wants an agricultural access, he'll have to apply for that permit. And also, that water bar can't be dumping water in the road all the time. That's unacceptable.
It needs to go in the brook.
It needs to go in the brook. And
the brook is, what, 50 feet on the
road? Well, he's just going to have to do something different because as it is now, it's going to come right down in the road.
Yeah.
So is it all right with you guys if I write that letter back and tell him that the water bar is going to be fixed and go the other way?
Yep.
And if he wants an agricultural access, he'll have to apply for same?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, Jim? Any other questions, guys? Okay, moving on. Tree warden, Cy isn't here, so I assume that's we won't discuss that. Truck prices? John and Steve?
So I heard back from actually both ATG and Clark's came and looked at our trucks to give us a trade price, and I heard back today from Clark's, but I didn't get anything back from ATG. The trade value for ours from Clark's, the 2013, they'll give $57.77, and the 2014, because in the RFP we commented we might possibly purchase two vehicles, so they give a value of $62.777. And he also added in here, as I spoke to at the last meeting, that if we go with a standard transmission, you can deduct $88.66 from the price that he already gave us.
$88.66?
Yep.
So bottom line, what is, if we trade in the 2013, and from Clark's, it's the only one we've got the money, the trade-in value on. What is it going to cost us to get a 10-year in Clark's outfitted and ready to roll with a standard transmission?
We were at, give me a minute, I can look here.
It's like 189 or.
Yeah, it was like
196,303.
Okay, so you get 196,303. Minus
57,000 or 57,700?
57,777.
No,
57,700.
The 77,700 goes to the 2014.
They both are the same.
Oh.
One is 77.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
They're looking at about 130,000.
So what?
About 130.
And do you feel that if you ordered a second truck, would you get a better break? Just right from sleep through that.
I think we would. And what day was it? Friday? Was it Friday last week?
Thursday
last week, ATG brought up their four-wheel drive Western Star with the 23,000-pound front end, which is the only front end that they will sell up to us now. They won't sell the 16,000-pound front end. And after seeing the truck and taking some measurements, we came to the conclusion that it won't even fit in the garage. Too tall. I spoke with Craig this morning because he had a couple of questions, so he would send me the trade values, which I didn't get. But I also asked what we talked about yesterday about a different style of four-wheel drive or manufacturer. And he said that it might be a little bit more money, but it would not lower the truck down. So that's what we're facing. It's either 10-wheelers or 2-wheel drive 6-wheelers. That's what we're looking at this point.
Sounds to me like we ought to wait and make sure this truck's going to...
Well, the problem we have here is we have a 2013 and a 2014, and if you order a 4-wheel drive vehicle, it's going to take you a year to get it?
Over a year. It's going to take you over a year, but it's not going to fit in the garage.
So what about with Parks and International?
They use the same components.
Same thing. So at this point, I think my recommendation would be is to go ahead and order one 10-wheeler and one 6-wheeler. And that gets us caught up to where we need to be truck-wise. And then when the Western Star comes up for trade, we're going to have a sense of whether or not the 10-wheeler is doing what we anticipate it's going to do. But we'll know then. And we could just trade that one in for an additional 10-wheeler at that point. If the 10-wheelers don't work, then we would just pursue another 6-wheeler.
But you can't even get a 6-wheeler that will fit into the garage in a 4-wheel drive.
Not even, you're stuck now with either 10-wheelers or 2-wheel drive 6-wheelers.
So what are your thoughts, Jim?
You're better off with
that. I agree with that thought. The 10-wheelers thought there. Get a 2-wheel drive, replace one with a 2-wheel drive, and then get a 10-wheeler and try it. My only thing with this is I would be awful leery on. Anyway, if you order 2 10-wheelers, I wouldn't order them from the same place. Because you don't want to get 10-wheeler in there and then find out that something's not right, you know, it's not meeting the needs that it should be right there. And it might be a different style or a different something else that's going to work better than the one that you ordered. So if you get 2 of them, then you start to tow. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, my other question was, is Clark's got, so they've got an on-the-road technician's got?
Clark's, in their proposal, they've got a $150 device that's already in there. So it's reading the codes or anything that pops up, and it comes right to, it would come right on to Jimmy's cell phone, which then he can send that to Clark's and basically do a diagnosis and not even be here. They can, and with that, it'll tell you whether or not you can drive it or you should stop driving it, if it's a sensor, what it is. And when they send the guy down, that he can come prepared with what he needs.
So they have a guy on the road, an on-the-road guy, too?
That's the way Dan...
Yep. The service technician.
Okay, because ATG was getting that up and this year also, so that was one of the things I was wondering about is we're saving an awful lot in towing bills if these guys can come to us. So.
Yep.
Well, the thing of it is, as I said, whether it's a 10-wheeler or a 6-wheeler or whatever, we've got to get a warranty on these things that will cover these towing charges. With these computers and those trucks going to limp hold, you have no choice.
Clark's, in their proposal, and John and I and Jimmy looked at it, they do have one in there. And it also covers if the computer tells them what it is when their tech leaves, it basically covers the cost of that. It goes, that will go in as like a towing, and it will cover the service guy coming. It may not cover his actual, all of his time here, but it'll cover all of his travel time.
You see, and so we've got to get a little smarter about this, because it's just costing, as you all know, I mean, you've seen the bills, it's just costing us a fortune to have these things towed every 5 minutes. I mean, you bring it back from Freightliner, and 2 days later, it's gone into limbo again. And somewhere along the line, we need to buy it with enough of a warranty so that we can run it until the warranty is almost run out, and then trade it. And we're going to have to get ourselves organized to put enough money in the budget so that we can do that, because it's the only way we're going to survive financially. We can't afford these $50,000-$60,000 repair bills for our fleet of vehicles. We just can't afford it.
Can't afford it, and some of it goes to the part of nowadays you can't keep them that long.
No, and so
with all the electronics, it's really not, other than the four-wheel drives, it's really not the mechanical part of the truck that's failing. It's computers and...
Yeah, but it still won't run.
Right. But I'm just saying, so 5 years is...
So do these have a five-year warranty on them?
There's a list of options. You can do 5, 6, and 7.
What does this price include? A 5?
No, the warranty's not included in that price.
The other thing that the guy was telling us about too is there's a little black box, $600, and you can plug it in from the back, and then the long truck that comes in and Hoover Ford, you can actually take that box, and if you buy Western Star or whatever, you can actually be able to plug the 550 and take that box out of there. So if that truck has the next truck, you know, Western Star has a check engine light on it, you can go over there and plug that box in there, and you can take the reading right off of that, and it'll tell you that little box for $600. And then after 2 years of its life, he said, then you have to pay like a surcharge or whatever every year on it. But he said that people are finding now that it's cheaper to just buy another new box. You know, every 2 years, buy another new box. He said that's been a huge, huge hit for towns and stuff, being able to plug it in.
And figure out what's wrong.
Yeah, figure out what is wrong, whether you can run it or not even run it, or if it's safe to run, or you can't, you know what it is. So
basically, you're getting those error codes off of there.
Yeah.
And then you can call a tech, and he can say, yeah, go ahead and run it.
Yeah.
Or don't, or we'll send it down the car.
Yeah.
Or the module.
Yeah. And he said the good part of that little box, I mean, is keeps track of idle time, keeps track of fuel mileage, all the gallons of fuel, everything that it's done. So.
Hi, Ben.
But I think somewhere's there, we have to get set for something like that, so that we're not taking our chances all the time on that. Like Sables, I would have taken that last truck down to Sables, but then if it ended up being whatever it be, then they weren't going to be able to fix it, and they were going to have to take it to ATG, and they were going to have to fix it. So you're stopping there, you're paying them to diagnose it, and then they're going to take, if they can't fix it, send it down to ATG. So no matter how you look at it, it's just it's what we do all around.
Do you have an affinity as to which truck you, what kind of truck you prefer to run?
I'm going with an International.
Do you think you can get along with just two wheel drives?
Yeah.
For the most part?
Oh, yeah. So we used to be, I was only one four wheel drive, and then the rest were two wheel drives, and then what they did was they had the scraper truck that was always a four wheel drive, and then after that they brought in the Freightliner, and that was four wheel drive, but that's back when they had four trucks out there too. So two wheel drives and two wheel four wheel drives.
If you put, don't overload it obviously with sand, but put the right amount of sand in the back. Put the right amount of sand in the back and you got decent chains on it. When I was plowing last winter, I very rarely put it in four-wheel drive. I left it for in case I needed it, and I didn't need it very often.
No, you're right. So, I need to be plowing.
It's nice to have to know that you have it if you need it, but no, I've seen some of the pictures of these bigger trucks, and they're big, tall. If it isn't going to fit in a garage, it's not going to do anybody any good.
This one they brought down there, I was like, oh, really? I mean, the Western Standard's down there, yeah. I think this one's like 6 inches different from whatever the one that they brought in, but when I'm standing there and the floorboards are here to my eyes, so it's up there pretty good.
So what are you going to do for a scraper blade truck?
That's on the 10 wheel.
Oh, you're going to put that on the 10 wheel?
That truck was specced for that. Good.
Good. Do you want to get all these figures together and get a final amount? Or what, how do you want to proceed here? We need to get something ordered here pretty soon.
When are you going to hear from ATG on trade-in?
I thought we were going to hear today, but he must have got tied up and didn't get it to me.
And we probably should wait until we get a number from them to make a decision. We probably ought to go through and come up with a recommendation on the warranty package and have that in a nice bundle. And
we're not.
And if you would like, I can. In the meantime, I can ask. Well, I guess if we got to do it in an RFP, if we're going to change and look at a six-wheeler as well, how do we want to handle that? We may as well have, because that truck is still going to be a year out too, so we may as well make the decision and get them both.
I think if you go to those two vendors, you have two vendors that spec out three trucks. I would go to those two vendors and spec out, if the board agreed, my thought would be to get them to spec out a six-wheeler at the same time, a two-wheel drive six-wheeler, and tell them what you want on it, and the plow and the sanding package and whatever, and just let them come up with a competitive bid. And not because those are the three dealers or the three manufacturers you're dealing with. Is that kosher to do it that way? Does anybody have any thoughts?
Anything over 25,000, we have to do an RFP according to our purchasing policy. So we'd have to waive that, consciously waive it. That's all.
Oh, you can take it. And...
Well, you can also doctor up an RFP for six wheeler.
Yeah, just
wouldn't have to change much,
right?
Calendar-wise, there's 3 weeks until our next meeting. At this point, you're not going to get the either truck this winter.
No.
We can also, if you want, you could put out the RFP. You ought to get it out to come in on the 6th, if we're going to do that. So would someone like to make a motion on getting an RFP out for a six-wheeler outfitted in a similar fashion to the 10-wheeler?
Changing them, so we're taking out the scraper blade requirements, keeping a lot of the other specs in it, other than it's a six-wheeler, it's going to be less horsepower, assuming.
And you'd also put in a manual transmission, not an automatic. You wouldn't ask for the automatic. Do we have a motion to allow our two truck people to put out an RFP to be due on the 6th.
So moved.
I have a second.
Second.
All those in favor of that motion? Frank?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
I'm an aye. Okay, do that. We'll try and get a final decision on the 6th. And
let them know that it's coming, so if they'll do anything different on the price.
We're going to buy two trucks. We're going to order two trucks, and we expect a significant reduction in the price, hopefully.
I don't know. Build that savings all into the second truck, so we don't have to worry about sticky situations with the first one. But
yep. Yep.
So, okay, we're moving on. Anything else, Jenny?
No.
Okay, we've got fiscal year budget planning and worksheets.
As you know, my email got hacked, so I'm sort of out of business for a while, but anybody could go on SharePoint and just pull up last year's worksheets.
Jen, you sent me an email today, which I didn't thoroughly read because I was outside all day. I apologize. You have done something with the auditors, and you have pulled up some stuff.
At Nancy's, I don't know what the timing normally is on this, but at Nancy's direction, I had taken last year's reports from the town, financial reports from the town report, and put them back into Excel, and created a new column for the fiscal 21 budget, which is all blank. And so my email to you was just offering that up so that you wouldn't have to create something new.
I think that would be great.
Okay. Nancy's reviewing it now, and she said she may have a few minor changes to how the line items are presented. Do you need it immediately, or can that wait till she's done?
That can wait till she's done.
Okay.
I wrote an email to the library and to the fire department and to Ona, saying that we hope they could get their budget figures to us by the 1st of December. I got no response back from the fire department or from Ona, but Ann Bauer indicated that she would try and do that, if not the 1st of December, soon thereafter. I guess it depended on when her meeting was. So we did that. The other thing that we've got to concern ourselves with is that we're going to have to, if we start buying these trucks every 5 years, we're going to have to change that capital planning plan because we aren't funding that heavily enough. There were some premises there that were made that we were going to run trucks for 7 years, that we were going to...
Did we make a formal vote on changing the replacement cycle?
No.
Okay, I'm just curious. Because right now it still stands at 7 year replacement cycle.
I understand that, but we need to have a discussion at some point, which is what I'm trying to say, that we need we need to have a discussion as to whether we're going to change that capital plan to indicate that we can't seem to be running these trucks or afford to run them for 7 years. And if that's the case, the parameters that capital plan was based on are no longer valid. And so we need to address that. And also, if we're going to have to replace these trucks more often than 7 years, then we're going to have to address that contribution to the sinking fund to accommodate that, because we're not going to buy the smaller trucks that we thought.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is we need to, before budget time or during budget time, we need to have a discussion about this, and that's all I'm saying. I haven't made a decision.
Okay,
I'm sorry, we need to figure this out.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. It sounded like a conclusion, not that we need to talk about it. But yeah, that's a good discussion to have.
And I think we ought to do that sooner rather than later, because we're going to have to do that.
That's okay. Yeah. Sure. Let's talk about it.
Do you want to wait until Nancy gets those budget worksheets together, and then we'll start scheduling budget meetings?
It worked the best because that was Nancy and I's goal was for hers. Our budget thing to match hers.
It would be wonderful.
Right. Then she can just import the stuff. They were, in the past, were typing all our numbers in.
And I think that would be great.
So I think it sounds like this is going to be the final step to make it. Last year was pretty good. And, that would be good if it was. Be super.
So we're going to wait on that on the budget. That's great. We've got Mae Wade Mazur follow-up. Scott, on the town hall stuff, did you write back to Passive with the updates that you had? Or
but still, I'm still waiting on some estimates that I haven't gotten yet, so we still have a few things that are outstanding.
My brother John is here. Did you ever figure out whether those heat tapes are even being used that they were concerned about?
I haven't, but I will.
So I wouldn't get anybody in on those heat tapes just yet until we find out if indeed they are even being used.
And right.
If they aren't, we'll get rid of them.
Okay.
And Jimmy and I will get together, and he's given me what's been done at the town garage. And we'll schedule what needs to be done here at the offices. And then that brings up another matter. And you don't have the benefit of this, Scott, but John, my brother, got an estimate from MVE, which is Mid-Vermont Electrical. And I gave you all the paper. And he spoke with a gentleman. He can get, with a 50-amp service that comes out of... Why don't I let you talk about this, John?
Basically, this guy came over, Pat Judge. He's a master electrician from Mid-Vermont Electric, New Art LeBrec, about the same age as Art. Got a lot of experience. And we looked at pulled up the transfer switch panel, we pulled up the panel in here, and he says that he can put in remove a couple of breakers and put in two mini breakers to accommodate a 50 amp breaker, run the service from here, through a Schedule 40 conduit that would be supplied by us, and then put the 50-amp breaker in the brick building, and we would disconnect the Green Mountain Power electricity down there. And the advantage of this is you'd save the money for the meter connect from the brick building. If you lose power here, the generator will not only run the town offices, but it will run the entire brick building, including the water pump that's in the well casing, housing, whatever you want to call it. The cost was $1,706.72, which includes number two wire to run down there. He estimated 250 feet, and that we would... by the conduit. I priced it out at Home Depot. It's Schedule 40. It's 84 cents a foot at Home Depot. Needham Electric over in Lebanon is 99 cents a foot. If we buy, and Jim, today I met with Jim and we took a look at where it's going to go, and he determined that it's not in the way, but he measured the exact distance for the conduit, and it's 210 feet, not 250 feet. So I had an estimate of $210. It'll actually be $33 less than that. We need two slip joints and some PVC cement and some caution tape. But I forgot to put in there, we need two 90-degree sweeps, and they're about $11 a piece. So then Jim said that he could get the road crew
to trench it and install the conduit, I agreed that I would go pick up the conduit over at probably the best place is Home Depot. If we run an optional 2-inch conduit in the trench at the same time, which would be my recommendation, that's another $210. So the total cost for the guy at MVP to run the wire plus all of the PVC and the extra $210 would be $2,226.72. And we had an estimate, or a budget estimate, from Tom Leonard. He is so busy he can't do the job. But his estimate, when Tom gave us the budget proposal to run a 240-volt branch circuit from the office building down to the pressure tank so that we could get water, it was a $2,500 cost, and that did not include the breaker in the brick building or the 50-amp breaker service here. So we have two estimates. One was $2,500, and this one is $2,200, which you're getting a lot more for your money here, and you're going to get a savings of about $300 a year because you won't have to pay for the meter charge. So Jim said he's willing to get it done in the next, like, when did you say, Jim?
Right off.
He'd do it before the ground freezes. And this guy, Pat Judge, would do the electrical work. And I think it's a good deal.
Any discussion? Motion?
So moved.
Yes, Scott?
I can't remember. Is this tied to? Is this specifically tied to the passive audit, or is it a separate? I can't remember if this is a separate project.
Separate project. This is
okay.
This is our ongoing problem that we had. We can't use this building because we don't have water for an emergency.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Right. Okay. I just want to make sure it's just a separate agenda item, that's all I'm saying. It's not part of the whole passive discussion. I just want to make sure
we're
in the right place.
Did we have a second? Any more discussion?
No.
Frank?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
And I'm an aye. Go for it.
Is everybody happy with getting this stuff at Home Depot?
There's not a list to make.
And maybe they'll give us a little break if I go to the counter. Sometimes they'll do that. But it's 84 cents according to the...
That was the regular price?
That was the regular price.
Okay. They have a bulk. If you buy, I think, 15 sticks, then you'll get more.
And do I pay for that with a credit card and then submit it?
Yeah, either that or I can use my credit card. Let's get together.
Okay, we got that done. NRCS paperwork update. That's you, Scott.
I don't have an update. Thank you.
Okay. Veterans Memorial Design and Construction. That's you as well.
Yeah, so we haven't talked about this in a while, but I want to get things going again on this. But I can't remember, I think we sort of informally designated me as the point person on this. But I just wanted to put it out there back to the board to see if the board wants to officially have me run point on this, and to see if there's anybody else who wants to work with me on starting to get the design for the Veterans Memorial.
Actually, Howard Chase, Chick Chase, spoke to me, and he has some interest in that. And so I don't know. I suggested that you reach out to you. I don't know if you did or not.
Yeah, he reached out to me as well. And yeah, if he wants to get, he expressed to me an interest in keep staying informed, but if he wants to get more involved, that would be good too.
Well, that was the sense I got, maybe not, but if you could enlist him, that would give you somebody to give you a hand.
Okay, well, I certainly do that.
You'll have him back on kind of the back burner. He just left for Florida last week, so he'll be back in early April or late March. So he's not going to do much with you this winter.
Unless he has an email account.
And I'll bet he does.
Yeah.
So he might be a good contact. He certainly is interested in those kinds of things. And okay. So,
okay.
Go ahead.
So, do we need to make it official, or is everybody good with that?
I think we're fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Scott.
We have the continuation of the executive session at the end. Are there any other items that need to come up before we do a meeting wrap-up? Because I've been in the orchard a lot, and I'll be honest, I kind of didn't do much with this agenda. Anything else?
I haven't been up at how's the slate roof project going. I haven't been by during the daytime.
I saw him about 2 weeks ago, and he said he hired some subs on another job, and they screwed up, and he had to take care of that. He'd be back here and do it. I think I need to jog him again, to be honest with you. I'm not too worried about it. We got the slate, and he's
got the roof covered in.
He's got the roof covered in, but he gave us such a good price, about 2/3 of what the other one was, or even half. So I think we kind of have to. I haven't been pushing him, and maybe I should. You will?
No, I was just wondering. I just hadn't been by in the day. Yeah, like to see.
It's the same as it was 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else? And are you going to talk to the guy and tell him he has to
tell him he's got it. I'm going to go pick up the conduit tomorrow, the next day, and then I'll check Jim and put it in. And with somebody to get it in, he'll wire it.
Okay. I think that's a good project to get done.
We'll get together tomorrow.
Okay. So we now have meeting wrap up, select board correspondence. I received none. Of course, I couldn't look in the mailbox. I'll look before following anyway. Review of assignments.
Joan and I will redo the RFP and get that right back out.
Great. I'll get back in touch with Wade Mazur or whoever, the risk management on what's been done at the highway department. And there were some deficiencies here regarding
we did think with the boiler inspections. I know that was one of them probably.
Ellen was I have not touched base with Ellen, but Ellen called and asked for those furnace maintenance things to be done, whether they've gotten done or not, but we have requested that they be done. I'll check with her to be sure, but I think that she asked for those things to be done. And but I will, let me just write down and check with thank you. Also, I did ask Becky about changing that template on the agricultural access to 18 inches versus 15 on the culvert, and she said Jonathan had that template. And to be honest, I have not looked in SharePoint to see if it's there so we could adjust that ourselves. But I will do that, and we'll check that template and make sure that either way, one way or another, we'll get the 18-inch culvert thing square away. Becky said she would get it done if but if we could find that that Jonathan had done. That would be good. And I will do a letter to or email back to Wallace on the ag access. Okay. We are not going to adjourn at this time, but we are going to go back into executive session if indeed I get a motion to do that. Unless anyone from the public has any other reasons to propose.
Be happy to leave my notes that I highlighted from the that I used for that. It's small print, but I just highlighted what the original was. And you guys, I think, just spoke to me broader.
Just so that you know.
And I don't know if it's as simple as...
Just a second.
It seems here they were summarizing, and I thought if they just add... It's nice and narrow here. You just have performances in end, and then I don't know why they go broader again.
Yes,
I didn't make sure there
are no more problems to be lost, and we'll go to the side of
the I'll try to decide how to set these two back out. I don't know.
I'll go to the far side.
The other thing I was concerned about, I'm not sure the time.
Wow.
Obviously.
I was just giving you a fair warning.
You know, I mean, this is incredibly broad on what everyone is giving up.
Well, it's
been in the red, and this is
my comments.
Okay,
so this was their text I scratched out. So
okay.
When it's crossed through, it was their text.
Okay.
When it's not crossed through like this,
I probably believe.
I mean, it's interesting when you talk about being forced, and they also have in here.
So both permits that are on the town website are.
If there's any litigation arising,
no, I say 18 inch culvert.
In essence, they've
so I don't know where the one
they can force the town to.
Right, we can just look at this.
There's the ones on the website.
So in one aspect,
I know that we're.
I would love to find a way to thank you.
Separated. But I'll work on that. I'll think about it.
So we're all set.
I appreciate the time. Thank you.
It's possible.
Anyway, if that's good. Anyway, thank you, Cindy, for coming. I need a motion for it.
Do you have the language there still, Scott?
It's a two-part motion. I'll start with the first part. I move that the board make a finding that premature public knowledge would place the board at a substantial disadvantage in regard to ongoing settlement discussions and litigation with Purple Crown Productions.
Second.
All those in favor? Frank?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Myself? Aye. So you have that motion in favor?
Right. And so now having found that... having made the finding of premature general public knowledge, I move that the board enter into executive session pursuant to 1 VSA 313A1E to discuss ongoing settlement discussions and litigation with Purple Crown Productions.
I'll second that too.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Frank? John?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Emily? Aye.